The following program was produced by an independent community producer. The opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of the ECAT staff or board of directors.
Good afternoon and welcome to Service Matters. This is a weekly radio show that talks about the good things that are happening in local communities and beyond. We also talk about the good things that people do to make a difference and in many cases makes dreams real for those people that might be in need. You're listening to WPRO, the voice of Southern New England. And of course, you can hear us on AM 630 or FM 99.7. A big thank you and a shout out to ECAT, Eastern Community Access Television, for covering this radio show. I'm Dave Clifton.
And I'm Valerie Perry.
And we'll be with you from 4 to 5 p.m. on Saturday afternoon. Of course, this broadcast is a cable, I should say, it's not really live. It's a tape show that we play on Saturday afternoon. I thank you, folks, for both being here today. We have with us Dr. Alicia Cabral, and she is the superintendent of Eastern Public Schools. And we're forever grateful to the good work that you do as a superintendent. And we also have another guest. His name is Brian Hoffman. Everybody knows Brian in the town of Easton. He's been around this community for 45 years. He understands what goes on in the town. And he is a guy that impresses me because of the way he deals with people. Dr. Alicia Cabral, thank you so much for joining us on the air today. And of course, we're going to reach out to not only the entire state of Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and Connecticut. And we wanted to be able to share your role and responsibility with other communities because we've had a request from a couple of superintendents that wanted to join us on the air. Why not start here in Easton, Massachusetts? And I spell that E-A-S-T-O-N. It's not Eastern, it's Easton. But anyways, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me here today. I must admit, I wasn't one of the superintendents that requested to be here because I wasn't certain people would be very interested in the role. So I appreciate the opportunity. It is a complex position. I will say that my personal educational background is as an English teacher at the high school level for 20 years. Then I went back to school for my third degree at Northeastern in curriculum and instruction, received my doctorate and felt like I could do some more with it and became—
Val, didn't your son get his—
Yes, he did. My son was a Latin teacher for 20 years and then he became principal of middle school and he got his doctorate at Northeastern also.
Okay, go Huskies.
So let me ask you this, Alicia.
Sure.
How many years have you been involved with the Eastern school system?
This is my 11th year. I was the assistant superintendent for 4 years before I was fortunate enough to be the superintendent. This is my 7th year in that role, and I am completely honored to serve the people of Easton. It's a very unique community. Probably the most interesting thing about my job, well, unless you ask the children, that's school days, snow days. Other than that, the most interesting thing about my job is the ability to work with so many community partners like Brian. And Easton is unique. In my 34 years of education, I have not worked in a town that had quite so many volunteers, resources, supports for their families, for their residents. We enjoy a wonderful relationship between the school department and all other town departments.
Lots of community spirit. Brian, what have you got to say? Brian Hoffman is also a guest today. What have you got to say about our superintendent?
I've been involved with Dr. Cabral for most of her 11 years here, and I've worked with her on programs that are in support of school, of education in general, programs to build, programs to expand and enhance what has been offered throughout what I think is just an incredible educational system. And as Leisha said, there's a tremendous synergy between the town's functional business offices, its community leaders, its businesses. And I think everybody recognizes that this common thread woven through the fabric of the community is founded on education, education for the children, education for the adults, and education for the community, sharing the resources we have. And I can't think of living in a better place.
You know, if you need a public relations person, Leisha, you like certainly it. Would do the job. Val, feel free to join in whenever you would like to ask some questions. I did have a question that somebody brought to my attention. They knew that you were going to be on the air with me today. And their question had to do with safety in the schools, how things have changed over the years. Can you elaborate a little bit on what the schools are doing in terms of providing safety to all the students?
Of course. Safety is paramount. We have very many hats to wear, but first among all of them is being sure that our families, students, and staff always feel personal safety as well as emotional, psychological safety, that they feel as though they belong in our schools, that we are a welcoming place, and that they can feel secure when they are there or when they send their children there. For the last decade, I was fortunate to, again, have a great relationship with the police department, the fire department, and I approached them with an idea of bringing a security consultant on board. This is maybe about 10 years ago. They were very cooperative. They understood the need to have an outside lens come in and do first a complete audit of everything in the Easton Public Schools, from the physical facilities to our policies, our procedures, our responses, our communications. And that was completed. It was about a 2-year process. It was completed for our schools. This is prior to the construction of the Bland James Elementary School. As a result of that, we created a training program with our police and fire department, who are fabulous. And in terms of physical security, we also looked at how we could fortify our buildings and make sure that all of our procedures were absolutely up to date and understood by everyone. And so we continue to work with the consultant on a less of a basis, because our first responders have taken over the majority of the responsibility of that. But we do check in with them to be sure that everything is completely up to date. So we do trainings with staff. We have crisis teams that are constantly looking at the facilities and how we do operations. But in addition to that, we're looking at our physical buildings. So Bland James is our newest building. We actually called in our consultant when we were beginning the construction of the building so that we weren't having to retrofit things later. They helped us design it specifically with safety in mind. The other three schools now, we actually are working on updating the security of those buildings simultaneously. I've been working with the town. It's going to be a multi-year project because it's expensive to do this work. In addition, because of the demand in the country, it is a very long lead time for certain materials and supplies. And so we have a multi-year plan that I'm working very closely with Connor Reed on. We're making use of grant funds whenever possible, earmarks from our legislature that I've been meeting with regularly about this. And we, while I can't go into details about things that will be updated or fixed or retrofitted, I can say that while the schools are very safe right now, anything that is about to be outdated or needs to be brought up to modern specifications is going to be done in the next couple of years. So
that's absolutely terrific to hear. I know safety is the number one priority, not just in the schools, but also in the community. You want to add something to that?
No, I'm impressed with the breadth of it. Just the one thing that wasn't touched on, you talked about physical security and emotional, psychological security. One of the things that I deal with in my business, and I see people dealing with in their very many different businesses, is cybersecurity. And the fact that education now is integrated so much with technology that comes from outside of the district, from outside of the buildings, from outside of the town. I was going to ask Dr. Cabral, you know, is there a piece of that plan and what's going forward that helps the staff and the students and the students' families feel that their information is secure, that their kids are not going to be exposed to the kinds of
breaches.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I was going to say assaults, but breaches is a better word. But to the kinds of things that can and are happening throughout the country, and certainly in schools that perhaps are not as forward-looking.
That's a great point. Thank you for bringing it up. We actually have already updated our cybersecurity. We have put some extra steps in place, which maybe not all staff absolutely loves, but they definitely understand the reasons for it.
Sure.
And we have worked with the town to make sure that we have the appropriate coverage in terms of insurance and so forth. Unfortunately, we learned this from the incidents that have taken place with our colleagues who have been very generous with sharing information about what happened to their systems, what they did to remediate it. And so we have taken proactive steps and do feel that we have exactly the security that we need right now, that technology is changing every day, of course. And so we have a fabulous new instructional technology director who one of her primary functions is to stay on top of that. So that is up to date. One thing that I will mention when we were talking about security that is noticeably absent and sort of on purpose is the fact that we do have a school resource officer, which is a full-time Easton police officer on campus and in our schools. And the reason I say noticeably absent is because I don't necessarily think of that officer first when I'm talking about security. For our purposes, it's a school resource officer. That's part of our proactive plan.
I ask you to hold that thought. We're going to come back. We're going to take a brief time out. You're listening to WPRO, the voice of Southern New England. And today we're interviewing a couple of folks here from the town of Easton, Massachusetts. And I think we can all learn. I wanted to say, Leisha, that you have a face for TV. And of course, you articulate very well on radio, and you certainly know what's going on, no doubt about it. We'll be right back after these important messages.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the official first episode of Eatin' with ECAT. My name is Joseph Taft.
I'm Jack Ryan.
And I'm Abby Kishlam.
We are, in fact, your co-hosts, and we are determined to bring you all the big eats that you can handle. So listen, if you're a foodie, you're not going to want to miss any of the action. Check out our website, www.eastoncat.org, or find us on social, at EastonCat. To find this episode on demand.
Oh, you're going down, Kishlam. You're going down. You're going down.
I got through the foam, and I'm getting a little more down to the... It's like...
The fact that there's jelly in this just unsettles me.
A Reuben sandwich is the best sandwich out. The sauerkraut mixed with the Thousand Island and the rye bread.
This is something I have never seen before.
We're good. We're all family here.
Where does the ice cream begin?
Big bite.
The whipped cream. Mm.
Welcome back to another segment of Service Matters. I'm Dave Clifton here along with Val Perry. You're listening to WPRO, and of course you can hear us folks on AM 630 or FM 99.7. We have two special guests with us today. We have the superintendent of public schools here from the town of Easton. And of course, Dr. Leisha Cabral, I said a few times, Lisa, not on the air, but when I first met you, and then I found out it's Leisha, a pretty name. I did want to mention that I had the opportunity to meet with the superintendent on a couple of occasions. And when we talked earlier about safety, I had to go through two door locks to get into her office. So that right off the bat said to me that security and safety is in hand. But you never know what's going to happen. I want to get back to continuing your answer to Brian's question. Is that possible? That is there anything else that you'd like to say about that?
No, I just adding to the school resource officer position. We see that as a resource. We're not only working to retrofit or backfill areas that may be sensitive, but we're also trying to be proactive. And the school resource officer is just that, building great relationships with kids, being a liaison between families and the school about children. And so we really feel that that has been a tremendous resource to the school. Of course, he provides a sense of security to many as well. And so we hope, we think we are taking well-rounded approach to issues of security, whether it's technological, whether it's personal safety, social emotional safety.
It's interesting. I ran into someone this morning that asked me who my guest was today. And when I mentioned your name, he said that you were the right person at the right time to be the superintendent. So that's a compliment.
That's very nice. Thank you.
It's terrific. Brian, let's yes. talk about the community a little bit. The town sure. of Easton is a great place to live, to work, and to enjoy.
It is.
You certainly, with 45 years of living here in the community, certainly will have some good things to say.
They haven't caught up with me yet, David.
If you got some bad things to say, well, we got to go to another station.
No, not at all. And the one comment I'll add, too, to what Leisha was talking about, that to me really speaks to this whole idea of really being forward-looking and doing things in the right way, is that with the location of the new Blanche Ames School in a centralized campus, now the school resource officer isn't spread all over town, you know, as it previously existed. And that, I don't think, ever got in the way of anything, but I got to believe that it allows them to have a more cohesive, you know, overview of what security and safety in the schools is. So
it's well said.
Campus, yeah.
Val, I'd like to ask you to join us on the air here. Tell us about the city of Providence. I know East Providence is your residence, but you have a superintendent and you also have lots of people that are happy with East Providence.
Well, East Providence, in fact, I was going to ask the superintendent about if she had resource officers, and you answered that question for me. Do you have just one resource officer, or?
We do.
Are they in? We have them almost in all the schools. How many schools do you have in
Easton? We have four, and they are adjacent to one another. So you can literally walk from one to the other. They're in a sort of a triangle.
Oh, okay. Because in East Providence, we have, well, at one time, we had 12 elementary schools. We've got about five now, and two middle schools, and a high school with 1,400 students. Mm-hmm. So we're the largest high school in the state. And we have resource officers. And in fact, a couple of years ago, they added a comfort dog. And they have this beautiful, and they bring the dog, the officers bring the dog, especially if there's been some, you know, drama in the schools and all, or some problems and all. This dog is wonderful. That was a great part of that, too. So
we have two comfort dogs.
Oh, you do? Oh,
we
what
do.
Kind of dog? What kind of dogs are they?
Oh, I'm not going to butcher that. I cute ones, that's for sure. But they, yes, precisely what you said. If we have psychological issues with children after a tragedy, or we also use them for speech and therapy. Children read to them. They interact with the dogs sometimes a little bit more comfortably than with humans.
Great.
You know, it seems, Val, that teaching over at the Massachusetts Police Academy, and I have been doing that for a number of years, teaching CPR and first responder, And I asked that question to the police officers. Do you have resource officers in the schools? And most everybody replied yes. Some had more than one, and most had just one. And they're just getting started. But I never thought I'd see this day where we have to bring officers into the school. But I think there's a need, and it's done in a friendly way. And I think that's important. One of the things I did want to mention, and Val, you're used to these celebrations, but we have a town of Easton, Massachusetts, 300th anniversary coming up in the year 2025. Brian's aware of it, our superintendent's aware of it, and we thank her so much for jumping in and getting involved. She's going to get the students and the schools involved. And I know that I wanted to thank our police chief and our fire chief, Chief Alexander, for them getting involved. And I find that there's a great sense of community in the town of Easton. They're all willing to jump on board and do what they can. And, you know, we're looking forward to this celebration, which is going to come up in 2025. It sounds like it's a long ways off, folks. But it goes quick, especially if you're involved in the committee or a coordinator or just volunteers giving back to the community and saying to the town, we appreciate living here. We appreciate what's been done here. And we're going to give back and we're going to volunteer our time and our effort to make this celebration work. I just want to mention before I go back to our guest, what's the celebration all about? Well, I can tell you there's going to be 8 signature events that will be held on 6 different days during the year 2025. It's the 300th anniversary of the town of Easton. And the select board and the town are thrilled that we can plan and prepare to celebrate the history of the town of Easton. We have a first day celebration on January 1st. We have a fireworks display. We have a townwide picnic taking place. We have a concert before the fireworks go off at 9 p.m. We have a giant parade that's going to go the full length of Center Street. And we're sharing this with folks out there that may be listening or watching. Fact is that some of these events are open to outsiders to come in to enjoy with the local residents in Easton. Let me not forget the fireworks display. Let me not forget the art festival weekend. We also have the final event of the year on December 27th will be the anniversary gala ball. We're going to roll out the red carpet. We're going to put on the flashing, blinking lights as you enter. You think you're going into Hollywood. But, you know, the next best thing would be Easton, Massachusetts.
Absolutely.
That's where we are today. On WPRO, and thank you so much, ECAT, Easton Community Access Television. And Joe, we thank you for being our producer today. And we also would like to go back to Providence at the radio station and give our thanks to the executive producer, Brett Friuccio. Let me ask you about the new school in the town of Easton. I know you share that building.
We do. How much time do we have? That is, yes, my third child, I say. This has been an exhausting but a very exciting process. This building was finished on time, about $10 million under budget, and was only possible by the generosity and support of the people of Easton. And so we are eternally grateful for this opportunity and know that we are stewards of the town and look forward to sharing this building. We've never been able to share our elementary schools. They were too small. We didn't have the appropriate spaces. This is perfect. We had the community in mind when designing it and developing it. So it's our major themes, aside from making sure we had community-friendly spaces, were, of course, paying homage to Blanche Ames, who is just was an extraordinary woman beyond way before her time.
Going back to voting and everything.
Everything. Suffrage, yes, everything. and you know, an inventor, an artist, a suffragette, really a very interesting, fascinating, brilliant woman. I feel like we've done that. I think like we've done justice to her memory and her contributions to Easton. We also made sure that the building and all of the grounds were 100% accessible. It was extraordinarily important to us that no matter the ability, the age, the mobility of any resident, visitor, or child in Easton, they would be able to navigate comfortably anywhere inside or outside of the building.
We're going to have to take another short break. I'm Dave Clifton here along with Val Perry. We have two definite leaders in the community. We'll be right back after these important messages.
Hi there, I'm Gail Devins, and join me as we discover all the businesses that made Easton great. This is a wonderful, wonderful place. I cannot wait. I want to do it. I want to go there. I am definitely coming back, and I know you will too, because I'm telling you something. It is absolutely amazing in here. It's what a wonderful way to discover Easton. It's right here in Easton. Showing at noon on Mondays, 2 p.m. on Tuesdays, and 11 a.m. on Fridays, only on ECAT.
Welcome back to Service Matters. Dave Clifton here along with Val Perry. And Val, I know that you have been a town official over there in Providence, East Providence, and very active as a past district governor of Rotary. You certainly have provided your leadership over the years. I'm happy to have you as part of our show. I did want to ask, and maybe either you or Brian, but mention something about the Ames family. Unbelievable when you see all the buildings in the town, and you go to Borderland State Park and they have a museum over there at Stoughton. I should say it's not Stoughton, Stonehill College. And those are all the facilities, even the Governor Ames estate, we're going to be using for the 300th anniversary celebration. What have you got to say about the Ames family that hasn't been said?
There's probably nothing I'm going to say that hasn't already been said. I think we're also fortunate that several members of the Ames family are here in Easton, are involved and active in the community, and support what generations have done with stewarding, you know, the Ames family's vision of what it meant to be part of a community. So I was fortunate enough to serve on the board of trustees of the Oaks Ames Memorial Hall for a number of years, helping some of the early work toward getting funding for renovation. I mean, we were literally in there with brooms and shovels cleaning out places in that building that it hadn't seen the light of day for a number of years. And Fred Ames was right there along with us doing the same work. Bill Ames is very involved in the library and philanthropic stuff. And when you talk to these gentlemen, they don't, you know, beat you up with history. They just amaze you with the kind of enthusiasm they have for what's going on in the town. I talked to Fred a little bit about what was going to be coming up in terms of the tricentennial. And he said, you know, just let me know what we can do. And that's what you hear from the Ames family. So whether you're talking about Blanche Ames, who was an incredible power at a time when women weren't all that powerful, you know, in our civilization, to the other members of the family, they just, you know, even they come from a very well-to-do family, but they don't keep themselves apart from anybody else. They're part of the community. They're part of our whole.
I see that right at Borderland State Park. Yeah. And of course the high school in town of Easton is Oliver Ames High School. Mm-hmm. And you see Ames written everywhere.
Yeah.
But today we're talking to two leaders, and of course our superintendent of schools. She is very active. That's what I hear from people, and that's what I see. Is there anything that you'd like to say in terms of the community?
Well, the teacher in me, of course, wants to add for anybody that's outside of Easton that the Ames family really developed their place in Easton as the creators of various shovels, really, and a lot of things in Easton named after that. And that is the beginning of their philanthropic work in Easton and the amount of things that they've donated to the town that have just endured over time. So if you have a shovel, it probably has the Ames name on it. And that's where that originated. Very hard work. As in terms of Easton, as I mentioned earlier, it is remarkable to me how I reach out to anyone in town and immediately get a response. And of course we do the same because we know it takes a village, and this is a very strong one. You had mentioned the tricentennial earlier. I think that's a great opportunity for people outside of Easton to come and enjoy not only the people and the sense of welcoming that they'll get, but also the beauty of the town. It's just between the architecture, architectural students from all over the country come to Easton to study the works of Richardson and Olmsted and the landscape architecture. It's beautiful. And there are so many community opportunities to take part of, even if you aren't a resident. I joke that I do live here just by nature of the hours of my job, but I don't, unfortunately. And I have always felt welcome here. And I would encourage people to attend some or all of the events. And I know that they will be just as impressed.
Yeah. And Val, I know that you have a lot of big time things happening in Rhode Island, and especially the major parade that takes place in Bristol, Rhode Island. And you've seen a lot of big time events in the Providence area as well. This is a smaller parade, but it's going to be the largest parade that the town of Easton has had. And that's going to be scheduled on July 4th. They're going to go the length of almost 2 miles, the length of Center Street. So we're looking forward to that with all the school participation, the police, the fire, all the town departments, people in the community, high school band. We're going to bring in 4 or 5 bands from outside of the community to really beef up the parade. We're going to take another short break, but I would like to say that our two guests here are a perfect example of leaders that know what they're talking about. They can say it with a smile on their face. And I always remember what Gandhi once said, and I quote, "The best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of helping others." That's what these folks do. Hurry back.
Hi, I'm Ron Van Dam. I've been in radio for 3 decades now and have been doing a daily podcast style show for a few years. But once a week, I come to the ECAT studio where they give me wine and cheese.
Hey, welcome to the program. How are you? Good to be with you. Hey, you're looking good today.
Thanks for being here. Make yourself comfortable. This won't take too long. It'll be a little bit painful for you, but in the long run, it's important for you to go through this. And I do a TV version of the podcast. I talk about what's going on in the world and in the area and give my opinions on things. That's both something to look forward to and also a warning. So tune in to see me move my mouth while I talk. Who knows? We might have something in common. Probably not, but you never know. Catch my show here, The Ron Van Dam Show, right here on ECAT.
It's The Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome back to the final segment of Service Matters. I'm Dave Clifton here along with Val Perry. And we got two community leaders here that really have done above and beyond. I'm talking about Brian in the past, what he's done and he still continues to do. And our superintendent, she really shows how things can get done. I remember someone on my committee giving her a call to set up an appointment. And the appointment happened right away, and she jumped right in. I was waiting for you guys to arrive. And now she's very much involved. And that's important, that we not only have the students involved, the population, but we also like to have the senior adults involved. And we'll be working with the Council on Aging to confirm that. I did want to go back to you, Brian. Sure. You had a couple of comments you wanted to make.
Yeah, and this is maybe going to sound a little silly, but it's not. And it's very kind of you. I'm honored to be called a leader, but I'm not a leader. I'm a doer. Leisha is a leader. She leads an incredible organization. I prefer just to be involved to do things. And you and I talked about this. To me, part of the DNA, I think, of being a community resident is the community part.
You are a leader by example.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the kindness, but I'm a doer. I'm somebody saying, you give me a project, and if I can get involved, I'll get involved and do whatever I can. It's not so important for me to be in charge of things as to know what the charge is and how we get there, you know? And so you just roll up your sleeves and do things. And the reason I wanted to mention that is, I'm sure there'll be people who would be, you know, seeing this and hearing this, and to encourage other people that with the tricentennial coming, certainly, but at any time and at any level in the town, you can always do something. You can always put something back into the community for all of the rich things that we get out of it. And I've had the pleasure of working with Leisha and her teams over and over again over the years, and her predecessors as superintendents with, you know, scholastic athletics, with town and community athletics, with serving on the board of a rather intriguing, you know, and historic building. There's so many things that people who like to do things and have a little time can do. So hopefully your listeners and your viewers will say, gee, maybe I can help, you know. So that's it.
Terrific. Val, what can you say about our two guests today?
Well, I'm very pleased to meet both of them. And I have to say that I agree with the superintendent about Easton. I've been there a couple of times to the studio where you're sitting. And I was just amazed at, like you said, the architecture, just beautiful, and the homes and the grounds and the parks. I was so impressed. I came home and I told my husband, what a beautiful town that is. I very, very happy. You know, when you live in a city and you live in an urban environment, it's a lot different when you go to a small town. There's such a different feeling there, you know. But I agree. It's very beautiful.
So, Leisha, maybe you can tell our viewing and listening audience any final comments that you'd like to make regarding your role as the superintendent.
Absolutely. I may be a leader. I hope I'm also a doer. But none of it's done alone. And so I really have to take the opportunity to commend my leadership team, every staff member in the Easton Public Schools. You know, just a quick story. I was walking through the elementary school the other day, and the morning announcements were being done by the custodian because the principal had to be out of district. Every person in every building pitches in every way they can, and talk about leading by example. So it is a blessing to serve the town of Easton, the people of Easton, the children of Easton, and that's because the people make it happen. And so we appreciate the support of the taxpayers, the support of the parents, but please know it's the hardworking people that are working with the children every day, from bus drivers, custodians, nurses, all of them. It's a team effort.
Well said. You know, I always think of a leader is someone who does the best he or she can to surround themselves with good people. And that's what kind of builds the mountain.
Yep.
And this guy on my left, your right, he's a very humble guy. Maybe doesn't give himself credit for everything he does, but he leads by example, and people catch on to him. I've heard many people have good things to say about you, and I was happy to be able to meet you.
Very kind of you. Well, I'm enjoying working with you on the tricentennial, so whoever it was suggested that, I'm glad they did. And as I say, it's I think it's in my own DNA. You know, I come from a family of people who believe you get involved, you know, you don't stay on the outside. But I think this town, and Lisa spoke to it a little earlier about it's so easy to work within the various functions and departments in the town. I think that kind of lends toward people feeling good about it, because you feel good when you finish and you want to do some more. So it's all about that. It's all about doing what you can do when you can do it, you know.
Two perfect guests for a show like this, where we talk about good things, Bill. Any final comment you'd like to make to our guest?
Well, just like I said, I'm just pleased to see both of you. I have a affiliation with the superintendent, as I started out working in the superintendent's office and the assistant superintendent's office in the school department. And I'm also, as Brian is, community involved, city clerk and city council, and I do all kinds of things with the council and everything. So both of you, I have a little affiliation with both of you. So it was so nice to meet both of you and hear your stories.
You as well.
Good for you, Val. It's great to meet you as well. And, you know, serving in public office brings its own level of challenges. So hats off to you. And rewards, yes.
Well, we're just about ready to finish our show. We certainly want to thank both of our guests for joining us today. We certainly had a good chance to talk about the good things that happened, not only in the community, but we also talked about the Eastern Public Schools. And I wanted to thank both of you for being here. We're going to share this radio show with the community here in the town of Easton, Massachusetts. We thank ECAT, Easton Community Access TV, for not only covering this, but they're also covering the 300th anniversary celebration. I'm Dave Clifton on behalf.
And I'm Valerie Perry.
Bidding you farewell from our ECAT studio in Easton, Massachusetts. We say to each and every one of you out there, go forth to serve. Do the best you can to help others out, and do it with the dignity that it deserves, and certainly do it with a smile on your face. Thank you for joining us. Have a terrific weekend. Good luck, New England Patriots.